right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
So according to statnews.com, Biden last month unveiled a $1.5 billion effort to boost funding for convincing every American to get vaccinated.
Oh.
So the marketing campaign.
Cool.
And,
so that's what this is.
I think what you're seeing, yeah, I think that's what this is. Like that guy probably got cut a fat check.
And a fat
Big
dick,
fat
probably.
Check. No, in his mouth. No.
Here's a quote. I'll give you a quote. I'm worried for the 15% of Americans who say they will not take the vaccine, said Sten Vermund, the dean of Yale School of Public Health. And about 8 or 9% of Americans say, I will take it if they make me, if my job forces me to. So that's about 23 or 24%. And that's flirting with the level we need to get herd immunity. So, A, what do you think about that 15% number? Do you think that's a little on the low side? I think so.
I think it's
low.
Who
don't want to get it?
Yeah.
Who don't
yeah.
want to get it? Well, mm-hmm. I actually got at the very end of this, I think the last little thing on the board here will dispel that notion, but we could bring it to the front right now. Biden just said 70%. He said 70% of the country. He expects 70% of the country to be... vaccinated by July 1st.
No. So I think that's political speak. That's what he's.
Yeah.
I didn't.
How do you adjust?
But
what's the adjustment for the real number? Do you think?
Yeah. Like I don't think that's like a.
I don't know what you mean.
That's not like a. I would have to read.
Okay,
it, but
if they're
I think,
saying 70% of the country is going to be vaccinated, what do you think the real number is? Knowing that that number is like a marketing term.
Just to be a little bit more specific here, Biden is saying that 70% of the population is going to be vaccinated in the same way that he's saying, yeah, we're going to leave Afghanistan by September 11th. Like it has no bearing in reality. It's just his political speech. Like I would say you would need to go take as legitimate a poll as you can from, you know, random people and just say, are you going to get vaccinated? That's how you would come to that determination.
I mean, 56% of the country has already gotten the first one.
No. Really?
Yeah, that's CDC data from Tuesday.
Huh, that's higher. That's higher than I would have thought.
Yeah, dude, 70%. He was getting bashed for saying 70% as being too conservative.
Really?
Oh,
so
wow.
what would 15% of the country not being vaccine? Because I'm an idiot at maths. Was it 85% of the country being? Yeah, that's what they want. As in the larger vaccine scare community want 85%. Biden says 70%. So that's his goal. I don't. I mean, Fauci was repeating this, too.
Yeah.
So, it's a goal. Like, I know what you mean, Carr, as in this is about as real as let's pull out in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We'll see when we get there. But we're already at 56 for the first one.
I hate to bring this up, but, like, I work and live in, like, the progressive mecca of this country. And from what I'm – in my random sample of, like, admittedly blue-collar people that I work around, there's a vast majority of them are saying I'm absolutely not getting the vaccine. And granted it's all anecdotal, but like,
yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
That,
but that anecdotal evidence is probably more valuable than anything we're going to get out of the mainstream media. So
CDC.
It's like,
well,
yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm the reverse. Almost everyone I know has gotten it already.
Yeah.
A sizable portion of people that I know have gotten it.
Almost everyone I know other than you guys.
Man, it's weird, and probably too. I wonder. There's probably some like something that we could take away from this, but like my job, I work with people, you know, all the way from all the way at the top. Well, not all the way at the top, but pretty well-to-do, long-time professional, very very wealthy people, all the way down to contractors
very
in the field,
wealthy.
Very wealthy, and I don't know everybody's politics, but I do. See a striking anecdotal correlation between you know, kind of socioeconomic level and willingness to take the vaccine. And I wonder if that speaks more to what you're talking about, Aaron. Even though you're in a progressive area, it's working class, and the working class people I know, I don't even think it's not even like they're resolutely, I'm not taking the vaccine. It's just not even a thought. It's not, it's like next meal on the table, next contract, next, tool I need to buy, you know, I don't even hear them talk about a vaccine.
The little bit that I've talked to with like construction workers and contractors, they are like absolutely not going to take it.
Yeah.
And in the case that they would take it, it's exactly like that article said, unless their employer forces them, or, you know, they're forced to because they need to travel or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're against it.
Yeah. I have to, if I could step in, you asked the question before, how many people do you actually think are going to get vaccinated? The study that I was looking at that Fauci was citing actually showed, they were using it from Israel, that case numbers dropped dramatically the way they were recording them when 60% of people were inoculated. So the number is potentially even lower than... So this number is going to keep going down because they're going to eventually realize very soon a good portion of the country just doesn't feel like getting this, especially not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we're going to, in probably not terribly long, we're going to start running into the big question that's looming over everybody, over the entire country in various forms, is how long do these last? Do we need to get boosters? Yeah. Is this going to be a yearly thing?
There's already one of the boosters, right? About that?
Exactly. Yeah. So, but then that's going to draw another conversation of, well, how long is natural immunity? Or are we just not talking about it? Or, you know, like, what? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, it's all equally, it's just all insane because it's just built on this bedrock of like not knowing any real information. But
on to the thing also that Aaron had mentioned. So Aaron, how much did you say the propaganda campaign was?
$1.5 billion.
Okay, well, there's another $1 billion going towards number one. $100 million of it is going towards rural health clinics. So all those areas where most of the people who are probably going, I really don't want to get this thing, they're going to start committing good money to pushing it. And then another almost $900 million, $860 million, to rural providers for COVID-19 testing. So, which is interesting because I guess they didn't have that money before. I don't know why everybody's so sure about rural areas testings in the first place then.
Dude, it's a mess.
And this article goes on to say, administration officials said they were mindful that appeals directly from President Biden or Anthony Fauci are not likely to sway vaccine hesitant people. As a result, they're expected to recruit both celebrities and trusted local officials to advance the pro-vaccine message. So your fucking mayor that you voted for, that you think you could have a beer with,
Mayor McCheese.
Yeah, Mayor McCheese.
Mickey.
Yeah,
he just wants you fat. He doesn't need you taking any vaccines. See, that's good. Hey, Carr, what's the news on Carcadia? Mandating vaccinations or what? Coming in, going out. What's
no,
the deal there?
No mandated vaccinations. We're actually not.
Really?
It's a pretty lax policy.
You guys are pretty sure your healthcare system is going to be able to come up with problem?
We're going to be able to support it. We're taking it head on. We're going to take the bull by the horns. We're going to just take this thing head on.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I love the way you guys do business.
It's
great stuff.
One could say we almost don't even really do any business. It's that seamless. It's that seamless.
Right. Of course. All right. Well, that was the last topic that I had planned, gotten out of the way for the first one. So
inject one more
please,
thing?
Please.
So as the southern, more rural country gentleman of this here program, they're running
and
into.
We'll get to that.
We'll circle back to that. They're now, and this is like all on the news, you know, at all times. This is what you hear about. Down here is that they're quote unquote just now realizing that supply is greater than demand on the vaccines. They're basically just trying to dance around the fact that nobody's getting them. So there's a lot of places, I don't know how it is up there, but where you have to make an appointment to go get the vaccine.
Dude, it's walk-in now.
Okay, yeah.
Up here,
they're begging people. They'll have video footage on the news of a site of like a walk-in site, and there will be an empty parking lot, tumbleweeds blowing by. Like, and they're like, dude, anybody can walk in. Anybody? They're lowering the age.
We just live in totally different Americas, because I had went with a friend to go and get it, and the first time we waited 2 hours.
Oh no!
For the second one,
no,
we waited six.
Nope,
it's walk 6 hours.
It's walk up, dude. It's walk up.
That's
and there's nobody there.
I don't know why on earth we share any politics at all. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. And I wonder how that, speaking, I don't want to derail too long on this, but I wonder how that, you know, how the percentage, the splits of how many people are going to get the vaccine versus not are going to break down by state, particularly.
Man, I'm very interested. Very interested to see how that correlates with the 2024 voting patterns.
Right. Yeah.
And see how that turns
anyway,
out.
Anyway. Yeah. So
let's can I put out a request for the listeners?
Please. Maybe.
I just saw this post from at New York Rangers, the hockey team. Mm-hmm. They're very angry that I guess one of their players got the shit beat out of them or something.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I was just wondering if any of our listeners are hockey fans and could enlighten me on that, because I missed it.
Send it over to him. Go check out. Don't email him, because he still hasn't set up his email, but send it to Twitter. There you go. I want to inject one last thing before we move on, since we started with vaccinations and such. On the complete polar opposite cultural flip from where I'm at, Ron DeSantis has decided that Florida's open.
Yep.
Florida, it's over. He's ushered in white boy summer and ended the COVID winter single-handedly. So shout out to all of our Floridians. Congratulations for picking a guy who is still a dunce, but clearly less of a dunce than the rest. And there you go.
Yeah. Why do you say that specifically today? Didn't he like do this a long time ago?
No, he did it yesterday.
What was he put out yesterday?
A big sweeping mandate ending all local.
On Tuesday. Right. Yeah, Tuesday.
Which was yesterday.
Fourth. Yeah.
Let's move.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't.
Well, let's move on. Gar, you'll recall 2 weeks ago, before we were stranded. I think we were at the Denny's when we did this, that I had polled the listener base about Aaron here and the most surprising to least surprising facts that involved Aaron. So I did the same thing for you, Carr, and we received around 200 votes here. And so I'll read the percentages out for you for the listeners. You know, Carr Campit, much like Aaron, is a man with a lot of lore. But he doesn't talk about himself very much. And so I've decided my campaign to shed more facts about everyone's favorite podcast co-hosts is going to continue steam on forward with Carr Campit being number two. So here are from least surprising to most surprising, and this is really is baffling to me, Carr. The listeners went from 1 to 4, least surprising, most surprising. The least surprising thing that they found out about you, Carr, was that you won a Tony Award.
Look at that.
You won a Tony Award. And was that for your performance of Cats or Phantom?
That was an off-Broadway show. It was kind of vaccine-related, and I don't want to circle
off-Broadway
back to that.
Tony?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. I
impressive.
Circle back. I don't want to double dip on the
vaccine. I understand that. Rent. I understand it.
Rent. He played the most AIDS-infected tenant and fucking just brought down the house.
Yeah. Buddy,
standing
O. Your sick cough was the most convincing sick cough.
Man, that guy is really sickly.
Man, that guy has a lot of AIDS.
Most AIDS contained it. That's another fact. Most AIDS contained the Guinness Book of World Records. Most AIDS contained in one body.
I actually kept the program book from that, and it's got some blood on it. I hope I'm going to be all right.
The dual category of best voice, most AIDS.
Really, there's only been one award ever given, and I got it.
You got it, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, number two, the second least surprising fact about you, which, again, I'm kind of surprised by this, is that you've never visited South Carolina.
Never. Never.
We've talked a lot about how you really don't like South Carolina, and I always find it to be very shocking when that opinion comes up. But
It's
that would be, sorry, and may I say, 8.7% was Tony Award. 11.4% of people found it most surprising that you've never been to South Carolina, but that's our second least surprising response. Never been there. Never been there.
It's a big rivalry.
A lot of beach there. A lot of surfing stuff. You not a fan?
It's just inferior in every way to North Carolina, so why would I ever leave?
I understand. Yeah. Right. See, and then it's going to get very upsetting here in a few seconds. All right.
Yeah, which is weird because, like, you've danced the Charleston to me before, like when we're smoking crack.
That's true. And, like, I go over into my dancing corner, my AIDS corner, and I reenact the Tony where I dance the Charleston with AIDS.
This former Tony winner who's infested with AIDS is doing the Charleston naked in a crack house to his podcast friends. Yeah, and he's never been to South Carolina.
And he's never, and what's even worse is he's never been to South Carolina.
Oh, that's unfortunate. All right, now, this is where it gets interesting. The second most surprising at 27.2% is that your great-grandfather was Mr. Pibb.
Yep.
Mr. Pibb, the producer of the soda Mr. Pibb, whose full name,
where is all that money?
Yeah, that money? What's going on there? Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
Well, it's...
I looked at our Patreon.
We turned it into a thin residue on all of the walls around us.
Gotcha. Oh. Right. As you know, originally from Waco, Texas, then in Dallas, Texas, Mr. Pibb was produced there by your great-grandfather. So thank you for that. Everybody go drink a Pibb, maybe a Pibb Extra, anything like that. You know, they renamed it from Mr. Pibb to Pibb Extra.
Did they really?
Yeah, the original product went from Mr. Pibb to Pibb Extra. There's no more original Pibb. It's all extra now.
Company went to shit when my family divested.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate.
Really went downhill.
And the most surprising fact, which to me, again, listeners, you usually do a good job, but this is like almost the inverse. This to me is the least surprising thing about Carr. But to the listeners, with a dominant 52.7%.
Majority.
Carr, you own less than 6 socks. Now, I want to clarify here, not 6 pairs, 6 socks.
Individual.
They found that to be the most surprising thing about you. Knowing you, Carr, it's not the most surprising thing about you. And in fact, it ties into your surfing. It's one of the least surprising things about you. You barely wear socks.
Correct. Yeah, no
barely
idea
a sock wearer.
Yeah.
He tries to hide his rocks in his sock drawer, but like, there's really nothing to hide.
No, they just lay on the bottom of the drawer.
Right, and then you pile a sock or two on top of it, and
yeah, and I'm like, all right,
might I just grab these?
The idea of Carr opening up his sock drawer and it's a lighter, some crack inside of a baggie, and one sock lazily draped over the top to attempt to hide it.
Aaron scoffing at my incompetence as he opens the drawer to grab more crack. Like, can't even hide it,
man. Listeners, send Carr socks. If you're coming to Childeberg, bring a pair of socks for Carr.
Yeah, please. Please do that.
Maybe a set. Maybe a set for Carr. So, your facts.
I have an announcement to make, an actual announcement.
Please.
I'll be at Porkfest on June 25th.
Nobody gives a shit.
Or the 23rd Nobody through cares. The 25th.
What do you mean you're going to Pork? Oh, right, because you're already up there. You're driving there?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be... I'm thinking about getting a campground. I'm thinking about car camping.
Wow.
Maybe make it to Childeberg, actually.
Yeah. What about
Maybe
that?
Do that, you,
yeah, that's... Yeah.
You dick. Maybe do that. Instead of going to a rival.
Yeah.
Jesus. How dare you. All right. Anyway, let's go on. Let's get to the news. Boys, shall we get to the news?
Let's dive in.
Shall we get to the news today? So on the first piece of news that I have for you today is that let's start light, because we're going to go to some pretty dark places today, guys. We're going to start light with a story from Fox News. In a place called Washington County, there was a dispute with a neighbor. This is good because we are ostensibly a libertarian cryptid podcast, or a crypto-libertarian podcast, or a cryptid libertarian podcast, however you want to spin it. And so I think this can bring us into an interesting place where we could discuss maybe some theory or something like that. So here goes the story. In Michigan, there was this guy. His name is Wayne Lambarth. He's a farmer.
Another made-up name.
He's a farmer. 100 years ago, his great-grandfather, who I assume's name, knowing how these things goes, probably also named Wayne Lambarth, His grandfather, 100 years ago, built the property, turned it into a farm, but the property was divided upon his death, and there was a dispute about the property line just last year. And so there were a couple of tenants and this guy, Lambarth, who were beefing. And Lambarth, being a farmer, what kind of farmer, we don't know, but maybe we'll find out. Lambarth decided that he was going to take it to the next level. And he collected all of the cow shit that he could find from all of his cows, because he was a farmer of cows. I don't know if he was a dairy farmer or a meat farmer, and I didn't look into it far enough to find out, but he was a farmer of cows. And he collected hundreds and hundreds of pounds of cow shit, and he built a dividing wall where the border is between the his property and the property of the annoying tenants in the next area. And so I wanted to throw this out there as a sort of libertarian principle check. Some cowards out there will say, well, you can't, you know, it's going to smell, right? It'll smell so terrible. And that's indeed what the people, the terrible tenants are complaining about, is that it's going to smell like garbage, obviously. So you can't do that because you're intruding on another person's, you know, their smell, you're disturbing them. I want to just come out right here for the whole TLE team. I would say we support building as many walls of shit on your own property as possible. And it's your own property.
In fact, I've already started.
And I just want that to be reserved, is that we don't believe that just because shit stinks, it's your right to tell people not to build a shit wall. Do you guys agree with me there?
Yeah, I agree. Hey, this is a great way to...
Sometimes Carr likes to come into my corner of the bathroom.
Yeah, and, while he's doing the Charleston.
Yeah.
And I get it,
he likes to do the Lindy Hop right in my little fucking area. And I don't want his AIDS getting all over the place.
Right, his shitting and his AIDS.
Half of our lives now are basically AIDS containment. Just AIDS management.
I started drinking some black coffee, which is actually something me and Carr agree on.
Yep. Right, the black coffee.
And I've just started fucking laying that foundation.
Mm. Perfect. Between your side of the room. I was wondering what that smell was. All right, good. So we've built our wall of shit. It's a great example of principle in action. Let's move forward.
Can I point out my favorite quote of this entire article? And I'm just
imagining
the exhaustion yeah. of the tenant at this point.
Where, oh, yeah, please. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a picture showing this wall of, like, cow
massive.
Shit in
Dude,
a field.
Explain it to our listeners how massive this wall
is. I mean, it's huge. It's probably 3 feet high and, like, a long wall. It's totally
40
insane.
Feet
you
know
what
the solution
right?
Totally
is,
nuts.
Right?
Just totally nuts. What?
You know what the solution is?
To what?
So you brought up so this is a fight between two landlords and you have tenants. So what do you think the solution is?
No. I think it's even better, Aaron. I think this is literally a fight between the owner and then his tenants.
Yeah, it is. It's the landlord and his tenants.
so it's even more insane.
yeah. It's literally a landlord who hates his tenants and is building a giant pile of go ahead.
Real opportunity for some catty quarter unity here. So
that's like, yeah, that's some fucking class antagonism.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But the quote is just, and I just imagine this lady is exhausted. It just goes, it's just a shit pile over there, Jaden Schwartzel said.
Yeah, yep. It's just a
shit pile over there.
Oh, man. Well,
what a lunatic.
What's that person's name? Jaden Schwartzel? Well, yeah. Jaden, you know what? You
is that their name?
You built a shit wall. You let it stink or whatever, however that saying goes. Next story. Let's move on from walls of shit to what is probably going to be the bulk of our on the line conversation here. When we get over the line, we have a different topic, but equally as strange. On the line, we're going to discuss, well, the guy died recently. It goes by the name of Philip, Prince Philip. I don't really know what their last... Can you Google
Phil.
That for me? What's that? The last name. What is their... Is it Windsor? Is their last name Windsor? It might be. Let's say that their last name is Windsor.
Okay.
Philip Windsor. Because I don't want to call him Prince for too long. There's only one Prince.
Prince Philip. Mm-hmm. What? Oh, yeah.
Philip Windsor.
Dude, I was listening to so much Prince last night.
Dude, good edible and some Prince.
Philip Mountbatten?
Oh, well, that's very convenient. All right,
no,
remember
no.
that name.
Wait. Oh, maybe.
Oh, it makes sense. It would make sense.
Okay,
I'll tell
okay,
you why.
Then it is. Then it is. Okay.
Let's hold on to it. Let's hold on to it. So he died. Philip Mountbottom or Boughton or Batten or whatever his name is.
Wait,
Prince
can I
Philip
can
died.
I can I hold you up for 1 second? Did you know he was
Please.
Greek?
Yes.
Okay, yep. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah, Greek and German and all kinds of mixes of shit. Yeah, so and that
mostly makes, inbred.
That may, yeah, very inbred. Yeah, they gotta put a little bit of that DNA in there just to keep him from like growing three eyes. Anyway, so Prince Philip had a fascination with UFOs, guys. A fucking fascination with UFOs. How do we know this? Well, it was rumored for a very long time that the guy had a fascination with UFOs and stuff like that. The guy has a lot of eclectic tastes, obviously. When you're the Duke of Edinburgh and you have as much power and money and connections as that guy had, you just kind of live the life on the top of the pyramid where everything beneath you supports you and you kind of live looking at the heavens. Very nice life, I'm sure. He liked to watch birds. He liked to paint. He liked naval history. He liked to play polo as well. He had an eclectic range of interests. One other interest that the man happened to have was a fascination with UFOs. Turns out, after his death, they got into his library and they found a sizable collection of books on the subject. Many, many books on the subject.
Can I just say this would be entirely similar of one of us dying and somebody getting a hold of like our archives and meme collections and stuff.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I don't know what kind of point I wanted to make by telling this story, but I think part of it is he was one of us, and I don't know if I like that, but. But we'll get to that, and we'll go further with that. So in a letter, which was written by the Duke to an Air Force personnel officer, the Air Force personnel officer had written a letter to the Duke explaining that he had seen strange lights in the nearby woodlands. The Duke was quite fascinated with this, and he had a 12-letter correspondence between himself, his private secretary, on the subject, on the interest in the subject. He was very interested in it. He owned a famous book known as Haunted Skies, the Encyclopedia of British UFOs. He was known to go on long trips in the countryside to some of these areas that were described in the book, the Encyclopedia of British UFOs. Where did all of this come from, we wonder? Well, all of this was a big secret until The Sun reported in 1979 or so that his uncle, known as Lord Mountbatten, as you had said before, that was his uncle, Lord Mountbatten, and I'll say his first name once I can, Lord Louis Mountbatten, or Louis Mountbatten, had written an official report 1950s, I believe it was, and it was kept until his death, hidden. That his groundskeeper wrote a letter, and he had to write an official report on it that was kept private, in which the groundskeeper had described seeing a strange extraterrestrial object on the property of Lord Louis Mountbatten's estate.
Oh boy.
Lord Mountbatten's official report described how a flying saucer reportedly landed on his Broadlands estate in Romsey, Hampshire. It was spotted by the bricklayer Fred Briggs in 1955. A man dressed in overalls with a helmet was said to have emerged from the bottom of the craft that was sighted. Mr. Briggs, the bricklayer who reported the incident, was allegedly knocked over off of his bike and pinned to the ground by an unseen force. So that starts off this, like, oh my God.
Was that Aaron?
That starts off this, that's his text from his hose.
Criminy.
That starts off this thing for Prince Philip in his relationship with his uncle, Lord Mountbatten, who was also a UFO enthusiast because of this event that occurred. Back in 55, Prince Charles actually mentions Mountbatten as the honorary godfather of Prince Philip. So we know that they have a very close relationship. Let me read to you what was described by the bricklayer further. After the unseen force, the bricklayer says the object that he saw was shaped like a child's huge humming top and halfway between 20 feet or 30 feet in diameter. Odd that it would be described in feet. Its color was like a dull aluminum, rather like a kitchen saucepan. It was shaped like the sketch which I have endeavored to make and has portholes all around the middle, rather like a steamer has. While I was watching a column about the thickness of a man descended from the center of the saucer, and I suddenly noticed it. Although it was quite bright, he's talking about a light in this instance, it did not appear to be directed straight at me, nor did it dazzle me. But simultaneously with the light coming on, I suddenly seemed to be pushed over and fell down with a tremendous force. What more, I couldn't get up. Mountbatten goes to investigate this. He signs a statement in which he says not only does he notice that Briggs is truly, honestly dazed and worried that no one would believe his story, but he, in his quote, Lord Louis Mountbatten says, I am sure from his sincere way of giving his account that he himself is completely convinced of the truth of his own statement. So Lord Mountbatten, the mentor, uncle to Prince Philip, who we're discovering over time now with some assurity because of the fact that we finally got into his bookshelf, was super involved in UFOs. We wonder why. The royals in general have a huge history of UFOs. And it's clear Lord Mountbatten is an instrumental object in this fascination that they have. But I want to take you one step further, gentlemen. Do you know Helen Mirren? You guys know the actress, Helen Mirren?
Yeah.
Recognize the name. Helen Mirren?
Well, Helen Mirren once made a comment about how the royals are aliens.
Okay.
Offhanded comment, right? Smiling is not a requirement. She said, what is required is to be dignified, iconic, and self-controlling, and not to be charming. They're like aliens, she said. I think people misunderstand them. Well, they're like aliens. They're like aliens. Well, we're thinking about this. We're thinking about whether or not they're like aliens. Do you guys recall a woman by the name of Diana, who under mysterious circumstances died in a car crash?
Do you also recall the person that she was dating at the time?
Al-Fayed.
Mm-hmm. Of Egyptian descent.
Well, where do we go with that?
Ancient aliens.
You. Yes. Well, hold on. Kind of. Well, kind of. Diana. And this is not, I'm not the one saying this. This comes from many reputable sources, including David Icke. This is the first and only time that sentence has been said. It is clear that Diana knew about the true nature of the royal family's genetic history. Mm. What genetic history was this? Gentlemen, have you ever heard of the Babylonian Brotherhood?
Friends with Paz, so
I feel like Paz should be on right now.
Well, since Paz isn't on, I will tell you about the Babylonian Brotherhood.
That's not as good.
So I repeat, there's this thing, Babylonian Brotherhood, that alleges that in the before times, when Babylon was a great civilization, the Anunnaki came down as the Sumerian gods, were aliens, looked like lizards or reptiles, who exerted a certain amount of control over grand societies through the capturing of political devices like the state, militaries, all sorts of things. How did they do this? Well, just ask Diana, who specifically referred to the Windsors as the lizards and the reptiles, and once said, they're not human. There's a very good reason for Diana using this description. If you will recall from your David Icke knowledge, those of you who are in the know, David Icke interviewed a woman who later admitted to have been a fraud. Of course, we know on this podcast anything can be coerced out of anybody. A woman named Arizona Wilder remembered clearly that at a place known as Clarence House, the Queen Mother attended a ceremony in which Diana was shown who the Windsors really were. The ritual involved was for all females of the 13 bloodlines who were in publicly high positions. What happened? Two things. Ritualistic child sacrifice and blood drinking, along with sick, horrible marriage rituals, which pawned off the 13 bloodlines of women to many reptilian men from an ancient species. This is how they perpetuate their alienness, right? So this is the whole thing, man. Diana was the one who specifically said that she couldn't believe how cold the Windsors were, and that the public had a graphic example of that in the few days right after her death. When they were in Balmoral in Scotland, while people mourned the death of Diana to the tune of tens of millions with an unprecedented explosion of grief, the only thing that could be ushered out of the Queen was a cold, emotionless, and pathetic tribute to Diana on television the night before. Cold was a word that she used constantly to describe the Queen, Charles, and Philip. And wouldn't that be very interesting for a group of cold-blooded lizard people? Let us not forget, coldness comes with lizard folk and other strange alien creatures. Let's remember Bill Cooper, before he was killed by Naval Intelligence, had said, "No conscience, no morals, no regrets, no feelings, and no emotion comes out of these brainwashed creatures." And this is precisely the same character profile as that of the Windsors. And there's a reason for that, of course. People have been hoodwinked for thousands of years. Hoodwinked about their history and about the true nature of life. The human race has indeed been hoodwinked. Well, that's my presentation on the aliens. But you guys have any questions? Because there was also another piece of news regarding the royal family. A bigger L. Any questions, boys? Are you in? Are they lizards?
I mean, I'll go along for the ride for sure. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I will unequivocally embrace that
good
theory.
Good, I like it.
I don't need any proof. I don't need any more than what... If Bill Cooper says it's true, then it's true.
David Icke,
well, Bill Cooper definitely did say that lizards and alien people are cold, which is true. Mm-hmm. Which is true. But it's not all going well for the Windsors. Prince Harry, do we remember Prince Harry, the redheaded stepchild of the royal family?
Yeah, what's going on with that guy? Remember him? Yeah.
Well, after his grandpa died, I'm sure he was very upset. And so, you know, you got to do. There's two kinds of people in this world when their grandpas die. Two kinds of people. One kind of people, they take their time, they mourn. And then the other kind, they build themselves up and they stick their head into their work. Not one's not better than the other, but it really depends on how you handle it. And it seems like for Prince Harry, he goes the second route. He got himself a new job at a mental health startup company in California, where his new title, gentlemen, is Chief Impact Officer.
That's my porn name.
Well, it gets worse than that, Carr, because, in fact, the position is known as a chimpo in business circles. A chimpo. The problem
you mean
is
like chimp out?
No, yes. It's spelled the same way without the UT. Chimpo. Wow. Chimpo. Now, the only problem with this is this international company he's a part of, the Japanese are also involved in dealing with, and there was a Japanese news site that noticed recently, and Sora News 24 reported that many Japanese people were laughing and saying things like, "I bet this news made junior high school boys very happy."
Yeah.
The Japanese always want to comment. Why? Quick, right? Why are they commenting these things, making fun of Harry and his position? Well, because Chief Impact Officer, or chimpo in the business, in Japanese, is a term that means penis. So Prince Harry's new position at the mental health startup company is penis.
That's amazing.
Prince Harry, the penis.
That's an enviable position. Yep.
So you got on the one hand,
beautiful place.
One of us, guy like one of us, who's going out there looking into UFOs that abducted the bricklayers from his uncle's estate. And then you got the other guy who's using adrenochrome quite often, let's be honest. And then on the other hand, you have how far the L can truly fall.
Yeah.
Where your new job title means penis in Japanese.
And, yeah, penis. 10% of the world's population understands you as a gigantic penis.
Giant penis.
Yeah.
Huh.
Crazy, man.
Right. Right.
Wild world.
I could only hope to soar to such great heights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all just happened so fast.
You know? It was really shocking.
It was a whirlwind. A whirlwind of news.
We can move off of that events. If you want.
Sure.
Aaron, do you have any commentary to make about one of your favorite dictators recently? There was a hit piece against him.
Oh, yeah. Totally unsubstantiated claim.
Is this Xi Jinping or whatever?
One of my personal inspirations. Just a great all-around guy.
Yeah.
Guy by the name of Adolf Hitler.
Oh, okay. Right. That one.
May have had some... very degenerate, very disgusting and sad bedroom practices during his lifetime.
Like what? What did he like?
Oh man, it's hard for me to say because I don't like to talk this way on this program.
You're right. Right.
But he may have liked certain bodily fluids. Uh-huh. He may have found certain bodily fluids and bodily excretions to be arousing.
Right.
And, you know, if you think about it, like people in that area, Europe, I mean, you know, that's just what they like. And who are we to tell another culture
thing?
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to tell another culture that we're better than them? That,
right. So,
you know, they're somehow less than.
Right. So Hitler liked to
be peed
on.
That's what Hitler was all about.
And he had an incestuous relationship with his niece, Geli Raubel, who he peed on for 6 years.
That's kind of funny. That's horrible. But like, for say, like just straight from 1932 to 1938,
he made her. I'm trying not to laugh because it's fucking horrendous, but it's so horrendous. It's like funny. It's so horrendous.
That wording was
and
just
that's literally the only bad thing that they can find on him.
So... Geli Raubel was said to have taken part, but was said to have been forced to take part in the piss ceremonies where they would all piss on Adolf Hitler's face, which was something that he liked.
Oh my God.
Geli Raubel was later discovered dead in Hitler's apartment in Munich in 1931 after being shot in the chest.
Huh.
So she had reportedly claimed that Hitler demanded simply repulsive things from her, according to the Sun. Hitler had claimed that he had abstained from all sex and opposed all forms of prostitution, but he had frequently invited sex workers to put on private shows at his mountain retreat, and he did have a porn addiction. Or at least that's according to the documentary, which alleges this. Which, let's just be clear about this. Aaron, where did the information from the documentary come from that was released?
So this came from... This came from a very reputable source known as the OSS.
Oh, boy.
Which is the precursor of the CIA.
Yeah.
So really just objective reporting. It's journalism at its finest.
We are confronted with the obvious. I wanted to bring this story up because of that to me is very important. We will never know whether or not Hitler truly liked to be peed on and whether or not he shot that chick, because the report comes from really like... on par with the Nazi propaganda machine, an equal propaganda machine, so that we'll never really truly know it. Now, is it hard to believe? No, the guy definitely was on meth all the time, so I can imagine he'd like to get peed on. Why not? But
also unsubstantiated.
What a wild!
You might be right about that. Well, that can't be unsubstantiated. Have you seen the guy? I mean, if they're putting Trump on
he's
meth,
just a very prolific speaker. Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. What if it wasn't true? Like, what? That's an amazing series.
If it wasn't true,
like
I would
the
be
OSS,
like
just they're sitting around a table, like, I don't know. Let's just say he likes to get peed on.
You know, there's a lot of things that people say that Hitler did that maybe aren't true.
Yeah, it's really weird how that happens.
Would you like to get into that?
Yeah, no.
No. For one episode, I would like to not get into that.
Let me give you. I can think of 6 million things right off.
God.
So the guy liked to be peed on, according to at least an infamous propaganda outlet, which I think is fascinating because it's one of those instances where I just go, I choose to believe it.
Yes. Might as well.
And it does not affect, just like how you could today tell me the earth was flat, it would not affect a single thing in my life. Neither would that. But let's move forward. Let's get off of the distant relative of the royal family here, Hitler, and we'll go on to a new story. Aaron, please. One more? Any more?
as far as somebody's
6 million and one?
Dragged through the mud, I can kind of relate to that.
Right, yeah, you and, yeah, you're both just real martyrs, aren't you? Real martyrs.
You may have heard of a website called, a website called Boys Town.
Oh.
It's spelled with an S, and I want to emphasize that Boys Town with Aaron is spelled with a Z, and the letter Z is very important.
Very important. Correct. It's now more than ever.
Very important differentiator.
Correct.
Because the German police just arrested a child sex abuse platform with over 400,000 members. Now,
Jesus.
I could never dream of getting 400,000 subscribers. So right off the bat, there's a difference.
Very true.
Difference.
I feel like, Aaron, you just jumped into this story without telling the listeners the backstory to it. And so
you're already
running a 400,000 person pedophile ring, which is not we want to specify that it is literally not us who's doing that.
Yeah, I'm like,
you're backpedaling before the accusation.
Yeah, you need to give more. When you do a story, you need to give more, especially when it's one where that is the issue. You got to give more context than what you just did.
My moose hackles are up right now. Like,
yeah. Just deny.
There was a gigantic breakup of a pedophile network called Boys Town, which happens to be the name of our website. and we knew, the funny thing is we knew that that organization, number one, existed, and two, was an infamous pedophile network, and that was part of the joke, but I didn't think it was going to be...
It was going to get busted and be on the front of the news.
Yeah, because there's literally, as far as I know, there's one letter difference between what the FBI was searching to check in on them and us.
I wonder if we could sue them.
We might be able for defamation,
yeah. That'd be amazing.
We might be able to do that. And actually, Steppy actually posted the day that it happened. He was like, this is a parody site, and we have nothing to do with anyone with a similar name to us. So he put that out there.
Yes. I should probably put something out like that, too. But
yeah, maybe we should probably clarify that, because someone's going to get a knock on the door or something. You guys
Have the elf draft up like a fucking boilerplate legal document.
Sure, I will get that done. You skipped ahead one story there, Aaron, but it's okay. I'm not going to penalize you for that.
I had to get that off my chest just in case.
I get it.
There were any anything to confuse people. I want to get rid of that.
Well, I get it. So we've got, one final story. So Denver Libertarian, shout out to you. Denver Doggery, he's going by. I don't know if people know his name, so I'm not going to say it, but... There was a incident that happened in Denver, a very strange city. Everybody knows. Let me give you some backstory to this, okay? There's an organization known as Love Has Won. Okay, it's a new age feel good hippy dippy group and all that stuff. You know, they touch you and they make you feel good, right? That's what they do.
All right.
Well,
I'm intrigued.
Sure you are. Why wouldn't you be? Well, let me give you some backstory to the group. In 2020. Okay, here we go. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Love Has Won is based out of a mobile home in Creston, which is in Colorado, a town of less than 150 people in San Luis Valley. And it was started by a woman whose name is Amy Carlson, a 44-year-old from Kansas who calls herself Mother God. The organization's members of Love Has Won offer what they refer to as spiritual intuitive ascension sessions, as well as various ointments, cloths, and remedies they claim can heal injuries. And they also stream videos twice a day and run a radio network station, not network, with sermons. We'll get into whether or not they still do those things, but some more backstory. Those of you who are paying attention to obscure news, those of you who are from the state of Hawaii and others, may have may recall an incident which occurred during the pandemic, which as we know, Ron DeSantis got rid of. He ushered it out with his power.
Yeah, the pandemic's over.
Canceled.
Well, it was over a long time ago, but he finally. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a good one. Canceled.
He canceled the pandemic. Amy Carlson, while the pandemic was still happening, went on a temporary relocation move to Hawaii, where members figured that the warm island air would be therapeutic for the Mother God, who one of the associates had said was suffering from cancer and was paralyzed from the waist down. Carlson, along with Jason Father God Castillo and a number of others, rented a house on Kauai last month. Last month being during the pandemic when this news thing came out in September. So, actually, this article came out on September 11th, interestingly enough. So, 1 month before that, they had rented a cabin in Kauai. But very quickly, things had gone out of hand. And word of the group's arrival on Kauai had quickly spread on social media throughout the island and prompted several organizers to start protesting the move. And the demonstrators took issue with the fact that Love Has Won members were allegedly breaking quarantine to go to the beach, soliciting free food from a local food bank, and performing very strange rituals where they would spew profanities, spit on cats, berate one another, and dance in what they believed was a mocking fashion to the old Hawaiian, I don't know what you call it, but they have rituals. So they were doing those mocking rituals. On Friday night, well, that would be September 9th, protests began to escalate. And videos that were provided by some of the cult members, because obviously it's a cult, shows people throwing eggs at them, rocks at the rental house, broken windows, an SUV in the driveway had its front, rear, and side windows smashed. Audio taken from the home elucidates on the fear that the members had felt. There's lots of screaming. They didn't know whether or not people were going to get in and kill them. It was a riot. Kauai police would not respond to the Denver Post request for information, but at the time, they had moved so quickly that they got Kauai's mayor, Derek Kawakami, on the line, who came to a negotiation with the group and the rioters, which had the group leave the island. They basically kicked them off. And in a statement, the mayor's chief of staff said no members of the Love Has Won group were cited, arrested, or informed that they needed to leave Kauai, but they were given an offer to assist them to leave if they wished to do so, which they did. Local officials provided a police escort, transportation, flight arrangements for the 14 members to return to Colorado. So that was during the pandemic. Well, they're in the news again. Why? Because seven members of the controversial religious cult, Love Has Won, were charged with child abuse abuse of a corpse after investigators found mummified human remains inside their home in Creston. The body that was identified by the witnesses was Leah Carlson. Who's Leah Carlson? Well, a follower told the deputies that the body belonged to a woman named Leah Carlson. And the Saguache County Chief, the Sheriff's Corporal, wrote in an affidavit, Mrs. Carlson is believed to be the leader of the Love Has Won group and goes by the name Mother God. And it's not known why the followers gave Amy Carlson's name as Leah Carlson. A follower posted a video message on the Love Has One's Facebook page on Sunday, which might be removed. The website has gone down, saying that Amy Carlson has ascended. Amy Carlson was 45 when she died. As I told you, she made headline news very recently. Seven people are in jail for this now. And they found the mummified remains of Amy Carlson, again, who for some reason was identified as Leah Carlson, and we won't understand why that is. The mummified remains were wrapped in a sleeping bag on the bed in a back room, covered in glitter makeup around the eyes, and were decorated with Christmas tree lights.
What the fuck?
The mummified remains appeared to be set up in some form of a shrine. A woman who identified herself as Bobby said on Sunday in a Facebook post, "She did not pass away. She ascended. Her essence left the body of Amy Carlson at 12:22. She is indeed happy now." Carlson's believed to have been communicating with angels from a very young age, and she was supposed to lead them to a great awakening. A group called Love Has Won Exposed, which investigates the cult, said Carlson told her followers that she would ascend via a starship or would disappear through a portal in the ocean. They're among us, guys. The aliens.
If you want to know more, you can go to the Mule Shoe Bend Recreational Area.
No! No!
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's your final story, gentlemen. Until we head into TLE Overline, over the line, overtime, something like that, where I've got a couple of other stories for you. Before we go, Carr, and I want us to lead into our conversation over there with this. There was a photograph that went around recently. I'm sure that you know what I'm talking about simply by mentioning that.
Yes.
There was some size proportion differences or something going on. So can you maybe like tease our listeners and then we'll go into our final plugs and then we'll hit the overline?
Yeah, yeah. A photo was released.
Check the description for the photo, please.
A photo was released, and you know, every now and then a photo gets released where we just have to pause and take some time to comment on it. And the last time that this happened, the listeners may remember, if you've been with us for some period of time, probably I guess a year and a half now or so, was the Hillary Clinton body double.
Yes. Yep.
Conversation.
Sure. Or Joe Biden with no hands.
Or Joe Biden with no hands. Right. Yeah. In much more recent times. This curiosity features some very interesting, very interesting size differences between the subject matter within the photo. And
the proportionality is all wrong.
Sure.
And so
can you explain to us perhaps who these four people we're looking at are for the listeners?
Sure. So in the photo, if the photo is to be believed, if you're going to take it at face value, is that it portrays the current president of the United States and the first lady of the United States, that is Joe Biden and Jill Biden. And then it also features president of the United States from 1976 to 1980, Jimmy Carter and his wife. And I don't know her name. And their size differences.
Bird, make one up.
Are
Melinda.
Melinda Carter. For beautiful
Jimmy and
first
Melinda
lady.
Carter.
Their
she
size
was.
Differences.
She was a banger back in the day.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And, but now she's very tiny.
Sure.
And
so
that's,
he,
and that's where I'd like to leave it. And before we go over the line,
yeah, there's a,
but there's
well,
a very
there's
important
a theory.
Theory. There's a very important
yeah,
theory.
They,
and I think that will,
right.
that will get released, over the line.
Right. So any listeners who would like to hear the theory and then a personal story of mine, that is something very interesting going on in the artificial intelligence world. Please go over to our Patreon and check out the episode, which has been released alongside this. Other than that, we got plugs. I have here's something I want to do. In the description, you are going to find a link to donate to Childeberg.
Yes.
LLC. Please do that. Childeberg is fast approaching. We've not hit our goal yet, though we are getting close, especially after the announcement was made. We are getting pretty close. And so please just go spare $2, $3, anything you can. Make a young boy's dreams, please. Anybody do any podcasts? Anybody do any fun stuff?
Shit, man. No, nobody's hit me up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hit him up. Guys, yeah. He's got an email. Hit him up, for Christ's sakes.
Right.
Jesus. And then I had a Patreon idea, an episode, if you scroll down on our little board here. I want to just throw this out. I got an idea. So we're rounding on about ending podcasting for good, because we're just not ending the podcast, but podcasting. You know, it's tiresome to talk into this microphone once a week, you know, sometimes twice a week, right? So we're going to need to start outsourcing our labor, gentlemen. And to do that, we need to start from the basics, an editor and some impressionists. Ooh. I think we need to get some impressionists first. So here today,
this is how the unionization fiasco happened.
Well,
let's dip our toes. We got to
tread lightly.
I'm running the business this time, buddy. So
that's right. Yeah.
So I'm going to take care of this one. A contest.
As long as we get the right people in charge.
Well, we'll see. Three winners will be announced. Three winners. Each winner will win a piece of TLE merch for their impression being the funniest and the best. So give us 15 seconds, 20 seconds. Pick who you're impersonating and do the impersonation. We're going to put them on the show up here.
Don't phone it in and just be like, hi, I'm Aaron.
Yeah, don't do that. Maybe. Really put some work into it. What you say has to be something that Aaron would say. Mm-hmm. Please feel free to use any words.
Don't you think it's so based how small my penis is?
Yeah. See, there's your first submission right there. Right there.
It's so us. It's clips. Us. That's. I'm submitting one for Aaron.
Nobody
you're submitting
answers.
One for
Yeah, nobody answers. We just end up having to do it ourselves. Oh, how humiliating that would be. Here's what we're doing. You will win a free TLE piece of merch. We'll discuss with you which kind of merch you want to get when all is said and done. Make sure that you include a way to contact you. Again, if it's the same email, just make sure you can contact me at the same email if we decide that you have won the contest. The top impressions will be shown, or listened to rather, on TLE, selected in a live contest format, and the winners will be contacted, given their prizes. Whether or not we turn it into a Patreon exclusive episode, we could work on, but I think we'll probably end up doing that, or at least release it on Patreon early, so who knows? We'll see. But with that, let's get on into TLE Overtime Car, because I've got to tell you this story and you know all the good stuff we still got to do.
Cool. All right. Well, everyone, until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.
Squaw.